Tonight, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. You know, there's two prophets in the Old Testament. Both of their names start with E, and it's hard to tell them apart. One's Elijah and the other one's Elisha. Tonight, we're going to talk about Elisha and his call. So we're looking at 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 through 21. And so in their passage tonight, it says, "So he departed thence." This is Elijah. "And found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee.' And he said unto him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to thee?'" What he's telling him, he says, just remember what's happened right now, that you don't forget this. "And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him." Elijah is at the end of his ministry. Now, Elijah appears in the Bible, and I think that Elijah is going to be one of the two witnesses in the end times, because he was taken up and he has not died yet. But here is the one who got in Ahab's face and pointed out his sin, pointed out the sin of his wife Jezebel. And basically, they hated him for it. They hated him, and they kept on trying to kill him. And God had supernaturally provided for him by ravens and by brooks and by widows with oil that was running out, and with a couple barrel, a couple handfuls of meal. And so Elijah's been provided for because he's standing for God. We talked about this morning that we need to stand for God in face of the giants. Elijah's the one that's mentioned in James, that he prayed earnestly and it didn't rain for 6 months. And so he had power with God. He was the man of God. He became, you show in your history books, and you would say, "Well, who was the first man in space?" And everybody would say, "It's Yuri Gagarin." No, it wasn't. It was Enoch. Think about that. He was translated, right? Elijah was a second dude, because he was translated also. Yeah. So it's not what we think of recently. This God has that space travel thing figured out long, long time ago. And we know that Elijah was translated because God took him. We see him in the New Testament also, because he was so important to God that on the Mount of Transfiguration, James, John, and Peter saw Jesus and Moses and Elijah. And so this is a tough act to follow. But Elijah has been given a commission here to anoint Elisha as the next prophet of God. And we see in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 16, a couple of verses ahead, it says, "And Jehu," he was supposed to anoint another one too. Jehu's going to get even for all the stuff that Jezebel and Ahab did. And so he anoints Jehu, and he also anoints Elisha. Says, "And Jehu the son of Nimshi shall thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel Melochah shall thou anoint to be the prophet in thy room." Now, here we have Elijah. Now we have Elisha. And Elisha is a successful farmer. And he's going to be faced with a choice. And he's going to have to give up what he knows to go out in a place where he doesn't know. He has to go from the familiar into the unknown. Now, if you are from Kansas or from places that do wheat, or even out here in Castroville, and where they're doing harvesting. You know how they harvest? They take various harvesters and kind of line them up in a slant line, and they just kind of chug it along, just churning up the fields. Here's Elisha and his 12 yoke of oxen, 12 teams of oxen, and they're going down through the field, and Elijah's on the end of this. He's a successful farmer. I mean, oxen in this time, you were a rich man. To have that much land to till, you were a very rich person. And so he is doing this. He's evidently successful, and he loved doing things in a big way. But God's going to change him in even a bigger way. And see, what we think is success, God doesn't care about. What success to God is what we do for Him. And so now his life is going to be turned around. And so we're going to look at this call in a couple of aspects tonight. First of all, in verse 19, we see Elijah's call from the Lord. See, the Lord knew Elijah before Elijah even arrived. He mentioned him by name. He said, "This is where he is. You go and find him." Folks, God knows every hair on our head. He knows where you are. He knows what he wants us to do even before we're asked, even before we get involved, because he's God. Because he's God. See, the Lord knew Elijah before Elijah arrived. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, it talks about us. And that we, the elect, according to the what? The foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. This is what's going to happen to Elisha. He is going to be set apart. He is going to be sanctified. The Spirit of God is going to come down upon him so he can do these mighty acts and show that he is the prophet sent from God. He will be obedient. He is justified by God. And basically he has the grace and peace, and it's multiplied. And we know the story that he asked Elijah. He says, "I want a double portion." And so it's over the cup and it's down in the saucer now. Because that's where Elisha is. Folks, this is where we should be. God knows us. God knows your heart right now. God knew us before we were even born. And God knows what we're going to do tonight. God knows what we're going to do tomorrow. But the question is, do we know what we're going to do tomorrow for God? That's the question. So the Lord knew Elijah before even Elijah even arrived. But Elijah was oblivious to it. He's out there churning up dirt with the 12 yoke of oxen. The Lord called Elijah before Elijah announced it to him. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the what? Foundation of the world. Folks, we have the same call on our life. We can do these things for God just like Elijah did. Christ said, greater works than I do, you will do too. Folks, we need to understand how precious our calling is, how precious our salvation is, how precious our ministry is. And it says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation, that we should what? Be holy and without blame before him in love. The Lord used Elijah to tell of his call. Now, there are instances in the Bible where God, as He's sovereign, He will use unsaved people like Cyrus, Nebuchadnezzar. But He's in control of everything. But as far as doing God's work for ministry and representing God, God's going to use His servants to call other servants. And think about this, folks. Isn't that what we're supposed to do as a Great Commission? Aren't we supposed to go out into all the world and make what? Disciples. Disciples who can reproduce. Disciples who can do things for God. And so God uses servants to fulfill His will. Are we fulfilling God's will? Do you know what the call of God is? He knows what your call is. Are we obeying it? Are we obeying it? We should be open to any ministry that a servant of God talks about. Well, that's not for me. Here's Elijah out there plowing with the oxen, and he's about to get a life-changing experience right here. Out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. See, the Lord called Elijah to service when he was busy. And unfortunately today, there's too many people too busy to do things for God. You know, there's too many parents too busy to raise their kids. And we see that today. We see that there's too many people in church too busy to get involved in ministry. There's a commercial on TV, and it's for an imprint. And the boss comes in and says, "I got a special project." And you know the commercial, everybody scatters. People are hiding in drawers and everything else. And there's this one person said, "I'll do it. It's not a big deal." That's a terrible commercial. Everybody ought to be, "Yeah, I'll do it." Folks, that's like church today. Somebody wants to do it. Everybody runs for the door. Everybody sits in the back. Try to get as far away as possible. Maybe the pastor won't see me. Maybe God won't see me here. Maybe Elijah thought that he's out there plowing and God's not seeing. Oh, yes, he did. And God had great plans for him. God had great plans. You can't be too busy for God. You can't be too busy. So, here's the point. And we know this over and over and over again, that God's call often demands that we leave worldly success behind to serve Him. Christ said, "If any man will follow me," but he put his hand to the plow and looking back, he's not what? Fit for the kingdom of God. Folks, we need a change in direction. It's not about you anymore, it's about Him. And Elijah is about ready to find this out because of Elijah's call from the Lord. Now, there was conflict here. And Elijah had conflict as he considered the call. See, the call of God always creates some conflict in our life. It'll change direction. Maybe you have to put off what you intended to do in order to do what God wants you to do. You know, think of missionaries. You know, they get the call to go to a place that sometimes they don't even know where. And they have to change and go to that place. The call of God always makes a conflict in our lives. You know why? Because if any man will come after me, let him what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and what? Follow him. You have to deny yourself. So God's call demands a decision to follow him. Look at the people in the Bible. Moses had to leave the sheep. Peter had to leave his boats. All the disciples. Matthew had to leave his receipt of his table of custom. David had to leave tending sheep again. And there's time after time after time. Gideon's another one. You could name all these that God's put a call on them. And, what? Me? Me? Yes, you. Because little as much with God is in it. And all God wants us to do is be surrendered. All He wanted Elijah to do was to surrender. Elijah had some problems as he considered God's call. The problems of his parents. You know, loved ones are often involved in our decision-making process. And sometimes we go and say, I think God's calling me in this. And I know parents that say, I don't think so. I don't think so. Who are you to stand in the way of God? If God has truly put a call on, you need to follow it. You know, Christ Himself talked about that in Matthew chapter 10, verse 35. Says, for I am come to set at man at variance against his father and the daughter, against her mother and the daughter-in-law, against her mother-in-law. See, God will take you in a different direction than your parents may want you to go in. Or you may want your kids to go in a different direction than they want to go in. And there's friction there because they're not agreed. How can two walk together except they be what? Agreed. So what did Elijah say? Hey, before I follow you, let me do what? Let me go back and kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. Christ dealt with it himself. They all made what? Excuses. They all made excuses. But Elijah says, okay, you can go do that, but don't forget what's happened to you today. He put his mantle on him. He says, you're the next guy. You're the successor. You have to do this. You have to do this. There was a problem of his position. What about the farm? You know, we hear about giving up the farm. Are you willing to give up the farm for God? You know, Matthew chapter 19, verse 29 says, and everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold, and shall what? Inherit everlasting life. See, God's call supersedes all these problems that we can generate in our mind. And we need to sell out to Him. The problem with His passion for power. He's a very wealthy man. He's got land. He's got all these servants. You know, how those other 11 yoke of oxen, they weren't going on remote control. There were dudes out there behind them. And they were plowing with them. And so he had workers working for him. He had a position of influence and a position of power. And he was probably the most wealthy guy in that area. And he's being asked to follow Elijah. He's been asked to follow God. You know, Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, Paul tells the Philippian church, he says this, he says, yea, doubtless, and I count what? All things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. You know, Paul says that the present sufferings of this world can't be compared to heaven. No, why consider yourself with a house down here when God's got a mansion up there? Why consider with treasures that rust and moth doth corrupt versus treasure that will never fade and rewards that will never fade? How can you compare the two? And so what we need to do is, it's a conflict. There's a lot of people that you may witness to. And you see, get them to the point of saying, would you like to accept Christ? And their answer is this, I'm going to have to give up too much. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You can't buy heaven, folks. And Elijah can't buy this call. He can't get out of it. He can't buy his way out of it. See, the rich young ruler lost that battle. He comes in Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 23. It says, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit life, that eternal life? That's the first problem right there. You can't do anything. You have to do it God's way, which is the done way. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none that is good save one, that is God. Thou know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. No, you didn't. You just thought you did. And now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Folks, there's too many people unwilling to sell out for God. And Elijah, there's no record of Elijah ever going back to his home, back to his farm, back to his way of life. He's going to be dependent. He's with all those other prophets out there. And he's ministering to Elijah. And it says, and when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was what? Very rich. Mm-hmm. See, Elisha is just an example for us. God knows us before he calls us. God knows his will for us before he even announces that will to us. He has a plan for each of our lives. Do we go searching for that plan? What are we willing to give up to execute God's plan? The question tonight is, will you choose worldly things and lose God's best for your life? That's the question tonight. So we see Elijah's call from the Lord. We see Elijah's conflict as he considered God's call. And then lastly, we see Elijah's consecration that emerged from this conflict. Elijah decided that God would be first in his life. Have you come to that point in your life? We like this idea about Jesus Christ being our Savior, but this gets into the Lordship of Christ. I am not teaching Lordship salvation here. I'm saying that if you are saved, you need to act like it.
Amen.
You need to glorify the one who saved you. You need to live for him out of a life of gratitude. He gave his all for us. We ought to give our all for him. He accepted God's call. He said that his call, he came to a conclusion that his call, God's call, was more important than position or power. He became the prophet of God, but he had to surrender to God's will to do that. There's a lot of people that say, well, I'm a Christian, but you're not doing anything for God. God asks you stuff, and people live contrary to God's word, contrary to God's will, doing things not even the world would do. And they said, I'm okay. No. You're not the person of God that you think you are. Elijah sold out and surrendered and became the prophet of God. And here's the point. He not only succeeded Elijah in position, he succeeded him in power. He said, I wanted a double portion.
Yeah.
And the study of the life of Elijah is incredible. How God could take a person and change them and make them useful. Now, here's the other thing. Elijah made his commitment public. He must have been from Texas because they had a barbecue. Think about that. Cut up the yoke, made a fire, killed the ox and cooked it. Okay?
Amen.
There you go. See, everything revolves around food, okay? But the issue is he made that feast for his servants, and he basically said, I'm not coming back. This is goodbye. All of his neighbors. It says here in verse 21, it says, and he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh and the instruments with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. And then he arose, went after Elijah, and ministered unto him. He says, I'm not coming back. But everybody on the farm knew what had just happened. Everybody around him knew what had just happened. Folks, can the same thing be said for us? Do people know that you're a Christian? Do people know? Do people see you sold out to God? Or not? So tonight, ask this question. Will you respond to God's call in your life? It could cause a conflict. But anything we give up, God's going to give back so much more.
Amen.
But the first thing is, have you denied yourself and followed Him? Have you followed Him by becoming a believer in His death, burial, and resurrection? Have you called upon His name for salvation? Have you asked Him for eternal life and knowing that you're going to heaven? If not, that's your call right now. That's God's will for your life, is to get saved. And folks, after we're saved, God's will, God's call, God's way for us is for us to follow Him with everything that we are. What about it? Are we willing to do that? Let's stand. Hey, Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day. Lord, we thank You for this time of message, Lord. We ask that Your truth, Lord, will just burn in our hearts, Lord. Take away the conflict, Lord, that's helping us, that's keeping us from surrendering, Lord, and holding us back. And Lord, tonight, let revival start here. Father, we just ask that You just watch over us, Lord. Just help us be obedient to Your Holy Spirit. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.